Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 45 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, the new voice of the Texas Tailgaters Banana Ball franchise, Brett Loftus. How are we doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. I appreciate you having me on here, Jack. It's looking forward to being on here. And number 45, good number. Good number.
Yes, it is. Of course, met you at the game that I covered for the Party Animals just a few days ago. If you haven't checked out the material on Instagram, make sure to do it, guys. It was a lot of great material, pictures, interviews, and videos, and all that good stuff. But a great game, and I met you pre-game, and so and now we're here.
It was a lot going on pregame. I know you got to go down there when we were doing VIP, and I heard you running around during the game itself. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot going on game days, and that was pretty cool. You got to experience that, man. That was one of the loudest crowds we've had this year at a Party Animals headliner. I mean, Lehigh Valley, man. It was a sick spot to be at.
It was pretty impressive. It's a great ballpark too. I talked to, all the guys like Tanner Thomas and everyone. I brought up the ballpark 'cause they were all raving about it. Did you like it just as much as they did?
Yeah, man, it was awesome. I think from a fan experience, it was one of the best ballparks. I mean, obviously your major league ballparks are made for fans, but from a minor league baseball perspective, I think that might be the best one we've been to this year. Reno was really, really cool when we were out there. I mean, we've been a lot of them. Albuquerque was really cool, but yeah, man, Lehigh Valley was awesome. Fireworks are great in game. You had the fire, and when we hit a home run, it was very hitter friendly. I just think it was a good ballpark, and it's Kentucky bluegrass, which I found out that was the surface. I was like, that might be the best thing about this spot. So yeah, man, I enjoyed the press box.
Press
All the
box is
people were
nice.
great.
It is
Yeah,
very
press
nice.
box was sick. So and I think the thing that makes anything, just like what makes our culture here in Banana Land so great, is the people in Lehigh Valley are really, really good too, man. So it was one of my favorite weekends we've had so far.
How was the second night? Because I was, of course, only there for the first.
Yeah, we played. I mean, it's one of those weekends, Jack, where you got a real quick turnaround. So obviously, we don't play on the fourth. We sometimes we'll do Friday, Saturday. We've done Thursday, Friday, Saturday this year. We've done Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But we just did a two-game series in Lehigh, so we went Saturday, Sunday. So you get back to the hotel at like midnight, and then you got to turn around and be on a bus at 7:30 the next morning. It's one of those things, man, where you kind of got the whole day. Like when you were there on Saturday and it's 7 p.m. first pitch versus Sunday where it's a 1 p.m. first pitch, you kind of have the whole day to ramp up. You have to wake up and you gotta like be ready to go,
Yeah,
which I
exactly.
love it, man, because it's quick to the punch, but then that also means like you're getting your day started very early. So it was awesome, man. I was actually in the booth for both games this weekend, which was the first time I've done that this year, and it was a lot of fun. And it was a great ball game. It was 3-2 again. Travis Munyo hit a solo home run in the ninth, bringing the Tailgaters within one,
Ooh.
and still couldn't get the win. Those Party Animals, man, they got our number. So,
They're a good
but
team. They're the best
yeah.
team in the league record-wise, so.
Yeah, well, they're the best team. I mean, those guys can absolutely mash. But I don't think the Tailgaters that far behind. I think arms look really, really good this weekend. I think we're really starting to catch up there and not issue out as many ball four sprints. I think the bats, once you're starting to see more and more of these arms, they're starting to catch up and figure out everything. So I don't think the Tailgaters are going to be held down much longer. So I think they're going to figure everything out. So and I think that'll get started this weekend in Salem.
I agree. They're all close games. So that's what you
Yes.
need. All you need is to keep the inning margins close, and eventually it'll start going your way. That's just how that naturally works. But of course, with you going from, college baseball to the Northwoods League to I think volleyball in there.
Yeah, I caught a little volleyball. I sure did a little pro
So,
volleyball.
yeah, like what about that?
Yeah, I mean, career has been kind of wild. Sometimes I forget I'm 24, and I mean that in the sense of I feel like I've
Achieved a
lived.
lot.
Like, yeah, well, not that. No. I
Oh.
try to not think that way. I feel like I've lived a lot, I guess would be a better way to put it. I feel like when you say you achieved a lot, that starts to put you in a prideful standpoint, and
Okay.
that's. That can really inhibit your success, if that
Yeah,
makes
yeah.
sense. But yeah, I mean, I feel proud of my work at the same token of that. I graduated from Piedmont University when I was 20. Went 3 years there, was the voice of the school as a student. I got to do a lot of great things there. And then I went to the Northwoods League. It's a collegiate summer league, baseball league, for those who don't know. Wisconsin Rapids, middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. Awesome summer. We went 58-14, broke
Whoa.
individual and team home run records, broke the single season wins record, but fell one game short of the championship. But that was an awesome summer. And then I moved to Bismarck, North Dakota, and lived up there for about 2 years. That's where I did the pro volleyball stuff, what you're talking about. Did a lot of collegiate and high school stuff. And then got laid off up there. Budget cuts, as companies have, got laid off up there in June of 2024, so last summer. Moved back home to South Carolina and freelance with ESPN Plus, calling a bunch of mid-major athletics in the fall, winter, and spring. And then December, got reached out to that there was a job I needed to apply for. And then I get the application, and it's the Savannah Bananas. And I had to send some video props in. I sent a video prompt to me in a cowboy hat. Had no idea who the Texas Tailgaters were, mind you, when I sent this in. Had no idea. I just knew I was applying for a job with the Bananas. And Jesse Cole and my immediate supervisor, Yvonne Trazak, got me on a phone call in early February. They liked my application, liked my interview, and then they wanted to have me down here in Savannah in early March. Came on what they call a test run. Felt like I did well then, and then they offered me a contract not too shortly after that. And so I've been living down in Savannah since April. Obviously, this is all of most of our guys' first year in Banana Ball, as is mine. So we're all continually learning and, started in May and started the season in May, I should say. And just been rolling ever since, man.
That's so sick. So that's like a lot of jobs, in a few year span. Which of those gigs do you think had the biggest impact on your style of broadcasting?
I would say moving to Bismarck, working for Beck TV. I think in college, from a technical standpoint, I was not as advanced as I should have been. I think, and that's not because I didn't listen or I didn't apply things. It's because my style has always been so over the top. As is Drake Tolles, right? Biko can get excited. Josh Dolefsky gets excited. Zach Staten, the firefighters guy, gets excited. I think that's what you need for Banana Ball. But I think for going into that traditional broadcaster sense, a lot of people don't like that. I mean, they just don't. They don't like guys who scream and get very excited. You either love it or hate it as a fan, right? And then if you're a producer
Exactly.
trying to hire somebody, you more than less hate it. And so when I moved to Bismarck, there's a lot of things I had to change, a lot of things that was worked with me on. And I think it helped me learn how to broadcast from a technical standpoint. And what I mean by that is now that I can come back to Banana Ball, and or come to Banana Ball, they come back to my truest self. I think now I know how to broadcast, and I know how to, all right, if I get excited here, I know where I peak at. Like I know mentally, like Travis
Exactly.
Munoz's home run he hit Sunday, I knew where I peaked at. So I knew I needed to not exceed that. And there's just certain technical things. So, Chris Brentel, there were four talent guys when I was up there. Jay Kerman, Dan Doherty, and Chris Brentel and myself. Chris Brentel, outside of my professor in college, had the biggest impact on me, any play-by-play guys had. And he's still up there. He's an awesome guy, and he's a big reason why, just teaching me certain things. I mean, you'd go into office every day, and this dude would ask you if you had a girlfriend about 500 times. And then he would tell you and break down your tape from last night. Like, just the duality of a dude. Dan's the reason I'm here. He recommended me for this job.
Oh,
And then,
sweet.
yeah, Jay Kerman's one of my best friends. So I would say Bismarck, North Dakota, man, as crazy as that sounds, has led me to Savannah, Georgia. Yeah.
And of course, Banana Ball is a new up and coming thing. Only I think 5 years I mentioned with Jake Skull in the process. So this is a league that's very different than any other in the entire country. This is where, that crazy style of broadcasting takes the forefront over any of those, traditional values. So was that one of the most exciting parts about coming to Banana Ball for you before you even got there?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think it's something that Jesse seen in me, my passion for baseball, but also my passion for broadcasting and how excited I am about it. I think that was something that really could be told virtually, but definitely could be told in person. I just, you listen to Drake Toll last year, right? Called Party Animals Game. And you're like, man, he's just free. He's just himself. Like, He's telling every story he needs to tell. He's informing me as the viewer of what I need to know. But he's also just going crazy on these calls, and he's just letting it rip. And I think that is very enticing, right? For when you've been and what I always like to tell people, Jack, I've told you this when we were talking the other day. In traditional broadcasting, when you get put in a box, it's not a spot you want to be in. You can't have fun. It's no different. Jesse talks about it all the time with us, Jesse Cole, our owner. When players have fun, they are going to play better baseball
Exactly,
or better
exactly.
banana ball. When we're having fun in the booth, the broadcast is going to be more entertaining. We are going to be better storytellers. We are going to be better broadcasters. So I think when it comes down to that, Jesse's created something for us, not just on-field product, not just the in-venue entertainment product, but for what we do on the broadcast as well, which we are a big part of the in-venue product. We are, a big part of the banana ball product as well. Jesse's created something for us, man, that's just so special and allows us just to be so authentic and obviously fans first, which is, I think our fans very much so appreciate it. You mentioned being very early on. Jesse loves to tell us all the time, we're just getting started, man. We're just in the first inning. So.
Exactly. Don't forget that I saw the tailgaters holding you on their backs running towards home plate.
My
Don't forget I saw that.
mom
But
and dad was not too pleased with that. They called me yesterday, man. If you got that clip, you should probably go to watch it. You can find it on our YouTube broadcast from Saturday. What was Saturday's date? The
the
fifth.
fifth.
Drake and I got carried in by our respective teams of party animals and the tailgaters. My mom and dad was not too pleased with that. So I don't know. I don't know how many more times we're gonna be able to do that, but.
Didn't was it you or Drake who like totally fell on the ground? Was that
Oh,
who?
Drake
That
fell,
was Drake.
brother. Trust
Yeah.
me. I told our guys, man, they were gonna get a reaming. Some things I cannot say if they would have dropped me there. That was not gonna happen, brother. Nuh-uh. They're not
I
gonna
knew it
drop
was yet
me.
one of y'all. I was in the photo booth and I was like thinking. I was like, wait, who, which one's that?
Yeah, I'd feel bad for him. It did. I did. But I
Oh
won,
God.
so I didn't feel that bad, I guess.
No, exactly. You won. That's what matters. So my next question is going to be, what is something that viewers, might not realize is difficult about calling a banana ball game? Because it's so different.
Man, that's a great question. I think the first, really the biggest thing that I try to focus on is, so you were there, obviously Saturday. You got to see
Yeah.
all the stuff that we do in venue, right? All the half inning promotions and, we're bringing fans down. We're doing the sheet race, or we're doing the cougar race, or we're
Exactly.
doing the can jam or whatever. So we try to show on our BTV broadcast, we try to show as much as that as possible. When we have our walk-ups, right? You've seen Tanner and Taj's walk-up from
Oh, yeah, the door.
Saturday night. Yeah. So trying to show as much as that as possible, trying to make it sound good. And I think as a broadcaster, those are things that you don't necessarily have to navigate in a traditional broadcast, right? So it's how do I navigate this? Do I talk over this? Do I not talk over this? I think that would be the most difficult thing. I think outside of that, man, it's not easy. It's a lot more difficult. I mean, structurally wise, it's calling a regular baseball game, but it doesn't seem that way because it's so much more fun. Again, I don't know any other way to better the way to communicate that than that. But it's just, there's so much more that I put into these broadcasts than I ever put in to calling a South Carolina baseball game. But
Exactly.
it doesn't seem that way because when I'm prepping or I'm talking to the guys or I'm like, hey, we're doing this here or we're doing that here or I need to talk here or I'm figuring stuff out, right? It's like it's in, I'm enjoying that. And I would say the difficulty level is not really that much because you're enjoying it. So.
What's your favorite moment that you've called this year? Of course, don't that player we've been talking about all day. She could probably be high up there. What's your favorite tailgaters moment of the year?
Man, I would say, like I said, this past weekend was my first time I was in the booth this year. We've had some cool moments on the field. I'd say the two coolest, though, for me are going to be the two most nostalgic. And it was night one or the first weekend in Albuquerque. So we had a thing planned. Whoever hit the first home run in Tailgaters history, I was going to run the bases with him and interview him. And so Mac Danford, I think it was bottom eight. Albuquerque goes dead center.
Dead
Well,
center.
yeah, dead center, man. First home run in
Whoa.
Tailgaters history. And our mic wasn't working. So I still go out and run the bases with him. We get it on our YouTube vlog. the mic that they gave me for the YouTube vlog falls off in play as I'm running the bases with him. And that was just so sick, man. I mean, Mac's a great guy. All those guys are my best friends. And Mac and I are real close. So that was, I mean, it would have been cool whoever would have hit it. But that was real cool. Mac hit it. And then the next day, very next day, man, playing a 1 o'clock game. We lose in showdowns. Bryson Bloomer hits the first ever walk-off grand slam in banana ball history and our first ever night for the party animals. And then we come out next day, 1 o'clock. Again, you know, we hit three home runs that day. We go to showdowns. Zach Watson hits inside the park home run in first showdowns. And then we come up, bottom of the first showdowns, first pitch, Reese Lightning fouls out to a fan. That's how we win our first ever game in franchise history. We bring the kid on the field, we interview him, and I mean, just talk about a great moment. I mean, a foul out to a fan is special anytime it happens on our sport. But for it to happen for a win, but not just a win, the first ever win for Banana Ball's newest team in its first weekend, I don't think that moment could ever
It's a
quite be
perfect
topped.
lineup. Everything just lines up perfectly.
I just that's a moment, man. Honestly, one of the most special moments of my broadcasting career. Because then, like, it's cool for me being down there with the guys, right? Because I'm on the field, this is happening, we're going crazy. But then I get to interview the kid on the broadcast. And so, again, that's just one of those moments, man, where you have to look at it from a bigger lens and you have to realize, like, this is bigger than me. And I'm getting to be a part of something that it's so much bigger than anything I've ever done. And just being thankful that you get to work with great people like that and be a part of those moments, man, that you can't script. Because that's one thing we don't do, by the way. We can't script the outcome of our
Oh,
games.
no way.
And that was pretty cool, man.
So speaking of, a play like that where, Rhys Anthon fouls out to seal the deal for the Tailgaters' first win, that's a historic moment in this franchise. And Banana Ball is only going up from here. So it's going to keep expanding. It's going to keep growing. When people look back at Banana Ball years from now, what do you hope they say about Brett Loftus and his voice in the movement?
Wow, that's a good question, Jack. Look at the journalism veins already running through you, brother. I hope, I hope the biggest thing people can say that is if they, first off, if they have the opportunity to come to the game and I'm blessed enough to get to meet them, I hope they can say, man, that's a good dude. You know, he took time to talk to me. He took time to give me a picture. He took time to give me an autograph. If somebody like you, Jack, aspiring broadcaster that's going to make it in this industry, you know, he took time to answer my questions. Like, those are types of things I hope people say. I think, I hope people say that, and I hope people say they enjoyed listening to my broadcast. But I hope, I can make those fans' first moments for our fans. Because at the end of the day, man, our sport would be not, I mean, no sports would be anything without the fans, but especially ours, man. I mean, our company is fans first entertainment. So I hope the impact that I make on our fans, whether that be on a broadcast, whether, they never get to meet me in person, but I can make their day by responding to a comment on social media or, responding to a comment that they have on our live stream, or I do get the pleasure to meet them. I just, those are the things, man, for me that I really love. Because I remember, growing up, getting to meet some of my heroes. My sports heroes, and how some of them were the greatest people ever. And now, you ride out for those guys for the rest of your life. But then some of them, man, they disappoint you, truthfully. And I don't ever want to be that guy that disappoints a fan to say, man, I thought Brett was different. I thought he was a good dude. Even as bad as a day as you can have sometimes, I still always want to be fans first for our fans and help make those moments, man, because that's what makes our sport so special, truthfully. So I think that's what I hope they say about me. The broadcast stuff, man, if they think I'm a good broadcaster, that's just a little bit cherry on top. So, but I do strive, I think, to be the greatest broadcaster I can be in the booth. But the priority, obviously, is to be most fans first. And however that looks, that's what I want to accomplish here.
I love that answer. That's about as good of an answer as I was looking for. Just the whole, that's what Banana Ball runs on. That's why it's grown so much in the last 5 years. That's why it's going to continue to grow. That's why you're selling out MLB stadiums. I mean, that's what the baseline is, and that's what I love to hear.
You talk about selling out a major league stadium, man. I don't get nervous. I get anxious a lot, but nervous to the point of where it's like, you got a pit in your stomach and you feel like you're gonna throw up everywhere. Man, Man, Jack, when we walked out of that dugout in Cincinnati, and it's 42,000 people this year at our first Major League Stadium, it's almost like an overwhelming nervous, but it's a good nervous in a sense because you're like, I've dreamed of this. This has
Like,
been my
wow, look at
plan.
this.
It's been my plan my whole life. I wanted to be in a sold-out Major League Stadium, being a part of a broadcast. And that was awesome. That was awesome. And you kind of had to get the nerves out real quick, but that was awesome, man. So, yeah, we got three more big league stadiums this year, and we got a lot of other cool spots we're heading to. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun the rest of the way.
That's what I'm talking about. We have one more, like, regular question, and
All
then we're going
right.
to go to a quick rapid fire segment.
Okay.
So our final question is going to be, if you could mic up one Texas tailgater for a whole game, who would it be and why?
So we've done this with him in a prime season game for about three innings. And we got some stuff on social media of it. But to do it for a whole game, I actually talked to him about this in the airport the other day. Cole Kitchen.
Okay,
He's
yeah,
one of them.
I loved his facial hair, the dyed facial
Yes.
hair. I was like, wow, that's pretty sick.
He's very interesting, very funny guy. He doesn't stop screaming during the game. Very positive stuff though. He's a very intense competitor on the mound. It's the duality of that. He's a very funny guy, but when he gets on the mound, he wants to win. And I think he'd be a great guy to mic up for an entire game. And if I had to go position player, man, we got some good personalities. I'd probably go Mac Danford, truthfully.
All
And
right.
just give Mac a microphone and be like, talk. I think that would be pretty interesting. So yeah, I'd have to go with those guys. But we got a lot of big personalities, man. Zach Blankenship, he did some work for us this weekend. Taj Porter was really good on the mic on the broadcast this weekend. Christian Davis, surprisingly, very good. Trey Jones. I could go down the list. We got some very big personalities though on this team.
That's my favorite part, is how the players, clearly love the sport. They all, of course, at least what I got from the party animal side of it, they all love it. I'm assuming it's
Yes.
the same on the other end.
100%, 100%. Yeah, I
But
mean these guys, man, they're sold out for Banana Ball, and I think that's a real neat deal. You know, when you look at Nick Lopez, who was an All-American last year at Kentucky, played in the College World Series, to Jimmy Lewis, who was a second round draft pick, to Zach Watson, who was a third round draft pick. I mean, we got some dudes, man. We got some dudes on this team, and they're here playing Banana Ball, and they love it. So I think that just should tell you about the growth, like you mentioned, just the short 5 years, the growth of our young sport.
of course. Alrighty, now it's time for the fun time social media segment. Rapid fire questions. We got five of them, all right?
All right.
Let's lead it off. One banana ball rule you would love to see in MLB.
Showdowns. I would love to see that instead of extra innings.
I totally agree with you on that one. Walk-up song if you were a player.
We'll go with what I went with in high school, and then we'll go with what I would do tailgaters vibe. My
Alrighty.
walk up in high school was "Hot in Here" by Nelly.
Oh.
And if I had to go with one now for Texas tailgaters vibe, I would probably go "Better Man, Better Off" Tracy Lawrence. Go a
Okay.
little country gold there.
Sick. Love that. Your dream broadcasting partner, anyone, any sport, any era, no restrictions.
All right, we're doing a three-man booth, late 90s NASCAR, Bob Jenkins, Benny Parsons. That'd be my booth. Or I got to get this one into Skip Carey. He was a longtime TV voice of the Atlanta Braves. Either one of those, man, I'm passing out. But man, late 90s NASCAR, late 90s TBS Braves, put me in either one of them, I'm in heaven.
Wow, the Braves?
Big time Braves fan. Yes, sir.
That's sick. That is so cool. Most underrated part of a good broadcast.
Well, all fair is the food. When you get good food post game, man, that's a good broadcast. Or you get to do a taste test like I did in Cincy. I think the most underrated part of a really good broadcast is appreciating your production team. I think, we obviously get to be front facing. You get to be the voice that, I'm the voice that you get to hear. I'm the face you get to see. But our production team, man, they're awesome. I mean, and it starts with Yvonne
Yeah.
Trazak, our executive producer. So I think when you are you in unison with that, and you get to celebrate with those people after the broadcast, that's such an underrated part.
It really is production team behind everything. My final question, I want you to describe Banana Ball in three words to someone who's never seen it.
Okay. fun, different, entertaining.
All righty. That sounds good to me. Those are the big three. And that's going to do it here for episode number 45 of the Playoff Push podcast. Thank you, Brett, for hopping on the show. I really appreciate it. Any final things you want to say?
Man, I appreciate you, Jack. You know, I told you this in conversation with you one-on-one in Lehigh, but I'll tell you this so the people can hear it. Man, you are so advanced to be 18 years old and to be an incoming freshman at Penn State. I can't wait for you to take my job one day, because you're clearly heading down that avenue. And I can't wait to see what you accomplish, man. And very much so, you got big things on the horizon for you, my friend.
Aw, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. It was an honor meeting you. It was great, you know, getting the banana ball experience for a day. Hopefully, you guys swing back to Lehigh Valley or Philly next year, and I'll hop right in there and do my thing yet again. But
I
I
hope so,
can't
man.
wait. Whew. All righty, everyone. That's gonna do it here for me. I'm Jack Dobbin, signing off from the Playoff Push Podcast. Have a great rest of your day.